If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. Now, I think you remember that we hosted the VITS-SRC a few weeks ago when they started a campaign to raise some funds for the missing middle at the university. And I remember commending them, saying, you know, this is wonderful. It's proactive. Because what we don't want to see, which we're accustomed to now, are the really uncomfortable protests that usually take place at the beginning of the year. I thought we were onto a good thing. We also have spoken to VITS itself, that was 2 days ago, where they were telling us that, you know, they're going to honour their commitment to the SRC and they're going to match what the SRC has managed to raise in funding for the missing middle. Yesterday, VITS appeared to the Parliamentary Committee of Higher Education and Training. And a lot came out of that, which I thought, yes, we could not do yesterday because obviously of the budget conversation. So we decided to invite the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education and Training, MP Tebogo Letsie. Thank you so much, Chair, for making time for us. A very good evening to you.
Good evening to yourself, to Ombo Mukaya, and thanks for having us.
Thank you for making time for us. I just want to touch base on the meeting that was held yesterday between yourselves as the Portfolio Committee and VITS. And maybe just before we get into the details, a sense that you got as the chairperson of this Portfolio Committee of how the meeting went at high level, but also maybe what necessitated your requests to have them come to Parliament.
Yeah, the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education and Training is doing oversight on all, or in the Department of Higher Education and all its entities.
Yes.
Under the Department of Higher Education and Training. Mm-hmm. So we had invited VITS actually as far back as January to get a sense of the state of readiness for the academic year 2025. We did not call them because of the hunger strike. Mm-hmm. You remember that 2 weeks ago, we also visited institutions of higher learning in the Northwest and in Gauteng. Mm-hmm. In Gauteng, we visited TUT. Tomorrow, we are having another meeting with two universities, University of Mpumalanga and the University of Nelson Mandela University in Parliament. So that's a scheduled meeting with this university to get a state of readiness and the state of governance and management at this institution.
Were you then surprised when they were inquiring on why you then had asked them to come at what they would have called a busy time like this at the beginning of the year when they're busy with registrations? I mean, I think I'm paraphrasing now. Don't quote me, but you understand the point I'm making is that they had responded to say, well, could you clarify why you're asking us to come in? We're busy right now. It's the beginning of the year. Were you surprised by that?
We were surprised when we wrote to them on the 24th of January. They responded to us on the 29th of January, literally telling us that the questions that we are asking them to come and present before the Portfolio Committee today, we can just simply SOS the department to get those answers. And we felt that that was a bit of a disrespect because we are legislated to do oversight on these institutions, including VITS University. And then we had to read the Riot Act for them, wrote to them on the same day, literally informing them that Section 56 of the Constitution allow us to do oversight over them. And when we call them, they've got no chance or no choice but to come. And if they can't come, they must tell us and we will summon or subpoena them to appear before the committee. Luckily, it did not get to that. They responded our letter that they will come, they will appear before the committee, and that's why they were there yesterday.
One of the issues that came up, and that was brought up by really almost quite a big portion of that meeting, is the issue of NSFAS. The minister kicked it off, brought up the NSFAS issue right at the top of our agenda. Of course, then it came up also with the student the SRC representatives who mentioned their issues with the NSFAS and so on. So that issue is quite a big, important issue. Were you satisfied with why NSFAS was not present in that meeting?
No, we were not. And that is why we had to call the whilst in the meeting, we had to call the administrator of NSFAS to come to the meeting or send the representative. They did send the COO to appear. He arrived at 12. And they did send an apology that they got mixed up in their calendar, which is an excuse that we did not take. We believe it's an excuse because they know that at the time when we interact with the universities, NSFAS will always be at the top of the agenda because there are deficiencies in their systems when it comes to funding the students, appeals of students, paying student accommodation and all of that. So every time when you have an institution, be it the university or the college, NSFAS must be part of our meeting. So we did not take that excuse. It's not something that we took lightly. We informed the minister before she went to cabinet that we're not happy with NSFAS not being present. She indicated that she has appointed a new board. You remember that the board of NSFAS was dissolved last year in March, and the administrator was appointed to start, I think, on the 12th of April, 2024. So the minister informed us that there's a new board that was gazetted actually on the 18th, which is the day before yesterday. And they will start their job or their work immediately. We are looking forward to the new board. It looks like a very well-balanced board that is that has some young people in it, has experience in it, has the diverse people that live in South Africa. It is led by a woman. So we are excited. The work that they must do, there is huge. It's humongous because the problems that are there at NSFAS, in my view, are not necessarily created by the board. They are created by management and workers at NSFAS who sometimes don't attend to the issues of students. Students can write an email and 100 days will pass without receiving a response. Students will call and there will be no answer. Whereas there's about 94 people who work in the contact center at NSFAS whose jobs are there to assist the students. So when a student calls for an hour and no one answers the phone, you ask yourself, what is it that they are doing at that institution? So we are going to have a meeting with NSFAS next week with the department, with the board of NSFAS, to give them all of these issues. I'm sure they will receive them in the handover report, but we will give them firsthand to their faces and to tell them what is it that we expect from them as a new board.
You know, you kept making the point in your address to the committee yesterday that the biggest stakeholder here are students. And one of the issues that is coming up is a lobbying for students to be included in that NSFAS board. There are issues around the students. Yes, I know you've mentioned young people, but those young people are brilliant young people, but they're not students. The issues around why they were not able to get students and that there needs to be some level of adjustment or lobbying to get students. I mean, how do you think that issue needs to be addressed and speedily so for that matter?
Yeah, the minister did indicate that the minimum requirements to be in the board of NSFAS of a master's degree. And that is why all of them do have a master's degree. Dr. Mugadi has a PhD, still a student, but he was not nominated by students. Ms. Karabo Mokhali has got two master's degrees, is a student doing her third master's, was not nominated by students. So we are going to inform the board of NSFAS that when they co-opt, because the Act does make provision for the board to co-opt, they must co-opt students who are active, who do possess the minimum requirement of master's, so that at least students can feel represented there. I believe that we do have a number of brilliant students who understand governance, who have a master's degree, that the students, you know, believe that will represent their interest. You know, young people like saying nothing about us without us, and I think it's the same thing with the students. Let's get the representative of the students in that particular board. So when we meet with them next week, we are going to tell them to speedily, in their first meeting, if they've not had it, they must co-opt young people. They must make a call to student formations, all political formations, to nominate people with master's degrees who they feel that will represent them. And I'm going to urge them to do it as soon as possible. They must not have another meeting where there's no student representative.
Just clarify for me, Chair, if I understood it correctly, that yes, that is the current requirement, but there was a review on that requirement, that maybe the requirement be adjusted to just being a degree to be nominated to be on that board. Just clarify that for me.
No, there's no review on the requirement of NSS. What the minister spoke about, there was on a different thing, that is to become a board member of the future. You remember that the future board members expired. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not the board members of NSFAS. Okay, got you. The pertinent issue right now, and what came quite strongly to the fore, was the immediate issue of admissions of students who have got historical debt, and also the extension of the registration. You know, just maybe in a nutshell, give us a sense of how that issue is going to be resolved going forward and whether you're satisfied with that.
Yeah, the University yesterday raised the students at Bert University raised an issue that the registration at Bert University is supposed to close tomorrow, the 21st of February 2025. And in the when the meeting began, the minister indicated that because of the problems of NSFAS, there are students who were, you know, defunded in the middle of last year by NSFAS, who, by the way, we've now learned that they were not defunded because they were trying to defraud the scheme. But they were defunded because NSFAS could not get a difference between those who have applied for a loan and those who have applied for the bursary. The bursary threshold is the maximum salary of 350,000 per annum, and the loan is around 600,000. So the students who were defunded were those who had applied for a loan because their parents earned between 350 and 600,000 per annum. And when NSFAS goes and checks, because this students then went to appeal. They then realized that they were defunded wrongly. They had applied for a loan scheme correctly. So we then said to this university, look, it won't make sense that NSFAS and the deputy minister, Mr. Budimanamela, are coming, deployed by the minister to NSFAS, to institution called VETS, starting on Monday to resolve these matters. And you close registration on a Friday. A Friday before the Monday will come. It will be a wasteful expenditure for them to go there if you are not going to extend. So we said to them, they must extend. We know that they've got fewer days to do teaching and learning, but we pleaded with them to consider this extension. And the principal and the vice chancellor indicated that it's something that they can't take in the meeting, a decision they can't take in the meeting because it requires a board or a council resolution. And they were going to meet today as a council. The council chair indicated that it's something that they will really consider. They will speak today and then communicate to the VET community students that they will not necessarily close tomorrow, but they will extend so that they give the students an opportunity to be able to register and not stay at home.
The issue of money sent back to NSFAS by the university, that money, when you consider the need, is a lot. And obviously would have been quite useful if it stayed in the institution to continue assisting the students. The explanation of why it goes back, and of course one understands there are applications and students that will fall through the cracks because of certain logistical issues and mistakes. But I don't know, but did you not get the sense that money was quite substantial?
SIU, when they briefed us last week, Friday, on the 14th of February, they've indicated that it's just over 2 billion that they've collected from these institutions. But this money was the money that experts would have paid to institutions to fund students.
Yes.
But some institutions would have claimed for a child that was not in their institutions. And that is why we recommended that there must be this investigation. And it came out too that institutions would have, claimed money from NSFAS or kept money that NSFAS paid for them for students that are not registered at their institution. So it was right for the money to go back. But what we are saying now, we're saying to institutions in NSFAS, the active students who are in the system now, they can't register because they fall. Let's take this money. Let's first of all make concessions that these students, let them register, and let's deal with the books. Let's check how many each institution by expecting them to give us an active debt. Active debt is the amount of money that institutions will claim for the students that are doing third year this year or supposed to be doing second year. So let's fund them with this money, the 2 billion that we have. It should not, I can tell you now, it's not, it won't get to 2 billion for all institutions.
Yes, of
course. That is a debt for the current students.
Yes.
It'll probably get to around 500 or 600 million rand. So let's use this money to give access to the students, because section 27 of the constitution speaks about making education accessible to the citizens of this country. So let's make that possibility. The money is there. Let's make those concessions. Let's allow the students to register, and let's balance the books after when students are inside the classroom. The money must be turned back. And that's not, our fight with them does not end there. We are saying to them, the money would have been in their accounts from 2017. They would have put it in a call account, earning interest. We want to know how much interest have they earned. Let them take that money and take it, to themselves, but then clear some of the students, give these students their degrees, allow them to graduate, because it's the money that they would have made from the money that does not belong to them, that belongs to a national financial aid scheme that is meant to give free education to our students. So let it work for that purpose, instead of for universities making profit out of the money that is made to access education for the poor and the working class children.
Chair, I know that you're in Johannesburg next week for your oversight work with other institutions as well. I'm going to ask and beg that maybe give us some time next week as well, just so that we can touch base on some of the work that you'll be doing on the ground. Will you be visiting WITS? I think I heard you say that you will be visiting WITS again, or am I mistaken?
No, that's not next week. Next week we'll not be visiting there, but I said I'm committing myself that because I reside in Johannesburg, I will be visiting there quite often to follow the issues that the students would have raised with management, the workers would have raised with management. So we will work with Beth hand in glove to make sure these issues are resolved speedily. Next week we are visiting a number of institutions who are visiting Chuan South Tibet College, we're visiting UNISA, we're visiting VUT, and then we'll have a day where we spend the whole day with the department, NSFAS, and the South African Union of Students, SAPESA, which is a union of students representing Tibet colleges, USAF that represents universities, SAPO, which represents Tibet colleges, because we want to resolve the problems now. And we don't understand why is NSFAS taking too long to resolve the appeals of students, because some of them might, what is the use of you resolving an appeal in May when a student is already at home and you say, no, we were wrong, and you can go to school. The schools, that time, a child would have missed the whole year. So we are having about 2 days with them, and then the other 3 days we are going to these other three institutions. But we will make ourselves available to chat with you.
Appreciate
it. In the evening after our days are normally
change. That's why I'm pleading with you now, because I know you are going to be having very long days. I mean, this is important also because what we're hearing, these allegations, and I know NSFAS, to their defense, has also said that they're going to investigate these landlords that seemingly are really conducting themselves in an unbecoming way towards students because NSFAS has not paid for that money. So we really would like to hear whatever it is that that you are able to share with us? I know some of the information will be confidential, but that meeting that you'll have with NSFAS, the Deputy Minister, as well as these other stakeholders, landlords and so on, I think it will be really key for us to hear what the outcome of that meeting is, as well as the work that you'll be doing with the other three institutions. So please, if you can, accommodate us sometime next week, please, Chair.
No, we will do so. But just to say that our meetings, we are public representatives.
Yes.
Our meetings are not shut. Our meetings are public. We represent the public. And whatever these institutions say to us, we will say it as it is. You'll remember when we met with the SIU, SIU told us that there's about 63 honors degrees that were given by University of Fort Hare, which were fraudulent in essence.
Yeah.
And we told them, name and shame those people, because we're not in the business of hiding people who do wrong things in our institution. So even next week, by the way, I forgot to mention that the student private student accommodation association will form part of our meeting next week.
Okay.
This private student accommodation people are assisting the students. And we made an example yesterday at VETS that VETS University based in Brunson Dead, for a bed, accommodation charges about 8,000 rand for a student. For a bed, literally the bed and a study table, 8,000 rand. But not far from it, if you know Brunson Dead, opposite Metro Center, there are flats, block of flats. If you go there and inquire how much is a block of flats, a two-bedroom flat is about 8,500.
Wow.
That would make sense.
Wow.
Where two rooms, two small rooms, sharing kitchen, sharing everything with 10 other people, 12 other people, they pay 16,000. But in a residential community, 300, 500 meters away from campus, they charge 8,500. Essentially, they charge 4,250 per bed, with the parking, with the fully furnished kitchen.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. And that is why we're saying we are going to have a conversation with them. It can't be that education is made a commodity. It's made a privilege. Education must be seen as a social thing that, you know, everybody who's in that business must not be. I know there are costs that they must cover of electricity, water, tax and rates, and all of that. But it does not have to be that expensive to access education here. When NSFAS says, my cap is 5,500, but we'll give you a rest that wants 8,000. It means that student every month
will always have a shortfall.
Debt of 2,500.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's 25,000 per year.
Yeah.
The following year, the student can't register because all they needed, as poor as they are, was to have a roof of their head. It can't be. So we are having those conversations with them. The biggest problem we have is the Act, the Higher Education Act.
Yes.
And as the committee, we've made an undertaking that we are going to review the Act. That will make it easier for the department, for ourselves, to do proper oversight over these institutions.
Mm-hmm.
If it means that we must say there must be no rest that is over 6,000, let there be no rest out there that is over 6,000, because students must have this student accommodation, must have access to education. And if they're poor and come from the working class families, let them have it for free.
Well, I'm looking forward to that conversation. I really appreciate you giving us your time again tonight, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education and Training, Debogo Letsie, MP. Thank you so much for your time. We'll chat again next week.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.